All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, a little setup before you take off your blindfold.
Okay.
As you know, there are a lot of video games that have animal mascots.
Plenty of them, yeah.
Yeah. And it's been a minute since we've done one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So just to prepare you for when you take off the blindfold and before I push you in, we are standing on the brim of a brand new innovation I've created. You may have heard of a compost pile. I have created a compost pool. This is full of yard scraps and food waste and has attracted all of the critters of the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I figure one of them will correspond with a video game mascot. So I'm going to push you in. You can then take off the blindfold. If you want to take it off on your way down, that's also okay. Whichever critter finds you, that'll be the mascot for the game will do.
Okay. I can't stay up here on the side with a big clothespin over my nose and say oh, that's the first one that I see. Look at that dapper little fella.
You can't really see him. It's more of a pile of smelly mulch that's undulating.
Oh.
We know there are things under there, but it's daytime. They're not coming out.
Okay.
They abhor fresh air.
Okay. So you could have told me to wear anything besides my jeans and t-shirt, but okay.
Well, take those off.
Okay.
And just put on these gloves.
God damn
it.
And
nothing else.
All right.
Well, you know.
No,
but I'm
going to
tie this rope around your dick. So when you're near ready, you give it 14 tugs and I'll pull you out.
Give what 14 tugs? The rope? Or...
Well, if you give your dick the tugs, the rope will feel it. And then I'll feel the rope and then I'll be able to pull you out by your dick.
Seems a little bit ornate, but okay.
You're going to gain an inch and a half. it's sorry to bother you rules. Don't you want this? Horse count, dude, horse count.
All right. Well, go ahead and just give me the shove.
All right.
Oh man, I got in my
it's
nose.
Soft, right?
Yeah. Loamy. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Petey. Huh? You know, if you died now, you could be like the Piltdown man or something. You could be a
perfectly preserved. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I hope I don't die. Yeah. I'm feeling some stuff here. I'm really happy actually that you took off of my clothes. It's going to be easier to hose me off.
Well, it's also going to exfoliate. this is really good for you're not going to have ingrown hairs. This is really good for your skin cells and stuff.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. We can sell tickets to this.
I don't know I've been selling tickets.
No.
To Gwyneth Paltrow's in the other end of the pool.
Ooh.
Right now exfoliating.
Okay.
We're going to turn it into the goop dome.
Appropriate. It's a big dome full of goop.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to speed this along, I'm just going to stick my right arm down in this and agitate a little bit. All right. All right. Okay. That's a bunch of teeth.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a bunch. Yeah. Oh, let me yank it up here. Okay. Got herself a possum. It's a mama possum. Got baby possums on the back of her.
We got her. Here, start jerking off so I can tug you out.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm going to be real clinical about
it.
Going to be real clinical about this. Okay, there we go. Feel it. All right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Slower.
I'm just going to climb up the rope. I'm not going to have you yank me out of here by my dick.
Okay.
I'm just going to clamber up. All right.
Suit yourself.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Yeah. No, this, those teeth found bone. Real quick, just so I can go to all the doctors. What do we got here? What's this correspond to?
It looks like there's only one game with a possum protagonist.
Mm.
It's Awesome Possum.
Awesome Possum and Dr. Machino.
It's a Rocket Knight Adventures.
You mean Sparkster?
Yes. Sparkster.
Oh, Sparkster. Okay.
AKA Rocket Knight Adventures, AKA Sparkster. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Noticing the abject suffering, jizz. That was me trying to do a Tim Robinson voice for saying it.
You know, like jizz or horse cock. Yeah. This is a premium episode, Gary. We're talking about.
Thank God. I yeah. There's a lot of jerking each other off.
Yeah.
In the beginning of that part. That's just for patrons.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is Rocket Knight Adventures. People voted on this. This was put mm-hmm. into the suggestion machine by Sean, our good friend Sean, who says, I played this a lot when I was a kid and I generally think it holds up pretty well. It's not good enough for a WAF. So have fun with it, you knuckleheads. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Agreed. I like this. I have lots of good memories from playing this as a kid. Yeah.
I do not have lots of memories of playing it. I have played it before. I played mm-hmm. it today. I think this is generally pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's got a couple things that hold it back from like being an all-timer platformer for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like everything's a little too big. You know, it's like a little too zoomed in. The lead is not great. You know, like every once in a while, I'm too close to the edge of the screen when I'm moving forward.
Yeah. Something blows in. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and a lot of enemies do that in this. Mm-hmm. They ambush you from a side of the screen. And like, if you're, you know, it's very hard to have anything you can do.
Especially in the first stage, when you have those enemies that hop up from the background and they're big vehicles.
Yes.
And you've got to kind of like almost do like a little joust with them. Yeah.
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 But you know, it's still a fun game. Like, In terms of the good games we've done for this show, this is definitely up there.
Yeah, this you can tell this is made by a Contra guy.
Yeah,
And as like a kid friendly version of that kind of thing. You know, being a bit, especially like Contra as it was by the 16-bit era. You know, just mm-hmm. big spectacle fight kind of stuff as it goes, almost like its own little side version of like Gunstar Heroes. You know, to a degree, like this is neat. You're like you're playing very obviously a little Sonic ripoff. He is a possum who wears blue armor and has like a rocketeer mm-hmm. rocket. And you can charge that rocket up and do like very special, like kind of like big jumps or attacks and stuff.
Yeah, you can shoot. You can basically shine spark.
Yeah.
From Metroid, like you go mm-hmm. all the way in one direction, any of the eight. You know, directions all the way to the end of the screen.
Yeah, or you can just charge it up and let it go, and you do like a big like AOE around you.
Yeah, you do have to have it fully charged, mm-hmm. Which means this is another like minor nitpick, but it ends up becoming one of those games where you just always want to be charging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's that the big Mega Man divide.
Yeah,
whether that added or subtracted from Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is one where you just kind of constantly want to be doing it.
Yeah,
which is kind of a pain. But again, not a huge deal. I think it's weird that you're a jetpack knight possum. I feel like any of those thing elements on their own make a lot of sense for a video game. And then putting them together ends up feeling exceedingly kitchen sinky to me.
I mean, it's really hard for me. I understood it pretty well as a kid, actually. You know, it, like I understand how messy it is, but it's actually very hard not to put myself in the, you know, in my shoes of like, you know, being a Sonic pilled, you know, 6-year-old reading Game Pro and seeing this new thing that looks for all the world like a new Sonic game, but it's, you know, got this other stuff in it. You know, mm-hmm. you're flying and, you know, blowing into the side of castles and doing shoot 'em up kind of stuff. In between, I was like, oh yeah, as a kid I was all about this. I was drawing Sparkster in like notebooks and stuff, and you know, yeah, lots of kid, affection
this
for
would
this.
Have been what I preferred to Sonic.
Yes,
personally, like I like how this looks more. Uh-huh. I like how Sonic looks as opposed to being in like an abstract zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in areas that try to look like a thing.
It's like really charismatic,
of course. Yeah, very charismatic. Like there's really cool background stuff going on as well. There's like mm-hmm. cool parallax scrolling. Cool, like I'm looking at a screenshot here of a castle in the background that a gigantic bug is attacking.
Yep.
Like it just looks real neat.
Yeah,
you know, this is very charismatic. It does so you have to kill pigs. You hate a pig
mm-hmm.
in this, and there's one gigantic pig whose name is Devil Gus. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're already off on like the scatological, you know, lowbrow thing, but I read that as Devilingus when I first read it.
Oh my god.
And I was like, oh my god, the boss of this game is named Devilingus.
That's fuck, a Lords dude. Of Acid album.
If I ever read one, like, man, I can't believe you had to be skyclad to do Devilingus.
Oh, that's really good. No, Devil Gus.
Yeah. No, Devil Gus, which is arguably an equally cool name.
It's fine. Yeah. I didn't care about anybody. I just wanted this fun little rocket possum, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little man.
See, he's a little guy. I remember being like super blown away by the fact that the, again, it's 1993 and I'm, you know, Cole, I'm sonic pilled and everything is just a zone. Like the fact that the levels are connected to each other, like, mm-hmm. you know, you end this one and you take off and like how you get to the castle that is in the background there is you fly and you shoot down some stuff along the way and then you blow into the side of it. Then you're in a castle level. Like, yeah, this is not the first game to do that, but it was, you know, one of my first memories of kind of seeing them even just bothering to account for. Mm-hmm. Like it was, and it's more like a cartoon than like a video game at that point, you know, at least yeah. with the way that it you know, presents things as though they need to make sense in linear order.
It presents a nice like subset of Genesis platformers, I think.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not like focused like Sonic is, which is, you know, accidentally pressing a button and ending up in an obstacle course,
mm-hmm.
or like Gunstar Heroes, which is a bit mm-hmm. more demanding and like creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, than this, I think.
Yeah.
This is cartoonier and lighter and a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's not super easy, and there are pretty robust difficulty modes on mm-hmm. this, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
But it fulfills a purpose for sure.
Yeah.
Did you, I know you read the comics. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, this is shows up as related to the Sonic comics. Did he ever show up in Sonic?
No, not that I can tell. I read that and I was like, that makes zero sense.
Well, it also has him showing up in Contra, Shattered Soldier. that's the case.
So Konami was trying to make, for a while, they wanted Sparkster to be their mascot, right?
Yeah.
You know, just because it was the early 90s. That's what you were doing. And there's a pretty compelling case to be made for like that also dragging this down because everybody else did that and those games were not very good.
Yes. And this one is just like kind of the Acrobat and
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. James Codd.
Yeah. Just like, no, this is not like those, but you kind of lump it in anyway. No, I never saw Sparkster show up in the Sonic comics. It's not that he would be like an especially poor fit. That would just be like, you know, and knowing what I know about video game companies, I have no idea how they would actually get that to work. Like Archie just, okay, we're going to have a combination Sonic and Sega and Konami property kind of deal.
He just shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how it would work either. I think it would also be weird because it would make Sonic face the question, like, why don't I wear like armor? I mean, mm-hmm. Sonic, he's really fast, but like, why doesn't Tails wear armor?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Biggs the Cat wear armor? Like, I didn't know there's a fucking option. We could become more protected, you know? Like, I thought we had to be nude. We have a sky clad to do Devilingus.
my outside Tails. Is. You clawed?
Yeah. Sonic. Why do we have to be naked? Tails. In order to do Devilingus, you gotta be nude, like me.
By even asking that question, you've delayed the ascension by countless decades.
Whoa. Guess we gotta kill some time. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. It would raise, you know, it's a very different. The Sonic comics are like a kind of a dystopian kind of deal. And this is not dystopian. This is fun medieval steampunk kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like steampunk pig possums.
Kind of possum punk. Yeah.
Yeah. Possum punk.
Mm.
I love a possum.
Oh, yeah. I don't love a surprise possum. Like, you know,
sure.
when you're just kind of going and doing something and boom, there's a possum, you know, they get protective. But like, yeah, I like seeing a picture of a possum. Like I've got the Wikipedia page for possum open and they've chosen the best possible picture, which is the possum mama with a bunch of the possum kits on her back.
Yeah, it's a nice light inversion of the frogs with mm-hmm. the babies because those ones came out of its back. These ones are just going on a fun little ride.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and you know, it is something, this the general softening that I've taken. And that wasn't very hard to begin with. Just nothing makes me happier than seeing an animal be a good mama.
I love a mama or good dads too.
Good caretaker. Right.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to like family court this hypothetical. I have just seen a bunch of like very cute animal dads.
Yeah.
You know, as well. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
I make myself cry by thinking of Jessica's kittens, which I'll never get to see.
Oh no,
it's really sad.
Jessica's your cat. It was like,
yes.
Again, we have worked our way into this point where we have to clarify.
Yeah, because I gave her a human name.
Yeah,
human name. Really fucked up. I've told my possum story before, but my surprise possum was me watching the house for my landlords several years back, going out to their compost bin and it just undulating, and then having to work up the courage to open it and finding a sleepy possum in there, and then not knowing what to do, calling animal control and then being like, well, leave it open so it can get out, but you might get more possums and it's not going to move during the day. But then like nothing else, like that was just it. And I was like, well, you know, I guess I'm rolling the dice.
Yeah.
I'm getting, you know, 1d6 minus 5 possums, or, you know, or 1d6 minus 1 possums are being added to my this compost bin I am steward of.
Yeah. I mean, if they didn't sound concerned, like, I always worry about that, like calling for
Want them to like snipe it, like, and I said that too. I was like, yeah, I'm not looking for this animal to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I said that, and you could also hear the eye rolling in her voice. Like, I don't know that a service professional has ever been more contemptuous of me.
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea how much of that I deserved, because it's not my rodeo, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
animals control me, not the other way around.
you're calling to figure out, like, okay, how much of a problem is this? Because, you know, I don't know, like, how much of a public, is this a public health emergency? Is this just a little nuisance? Yeah. Like, I'm calling the city to say that a possum happened, but, you know, I don't know how to interpret this. Yeah.
This might be de rigueur, you know, to you, but to me, I've never done it before. Like, uh-huh. It's the same thing. I get mad at, like, mechanics and stuff who are condescending. It's like, this is your job. This isn't my job.
Uh-huh.
The whole point of you is that you know this and I know other stuff. Like,
uh-huh.
It's not better or worse. It's just, that's why I'm asking you. Like, it drives me nuts when people get a chip on their shoulder about this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Did not like.
Mm-hmm. What ended up happening? This story, you told me this story, but it was a long time ago.
I left it for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
It was still there the next day and then it left.
Yeah.
So I don't think it made any friends.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Good for it.
Yeah.
I like how possums are, you have to work to find them cute. Like, they've got that real, like, snaggle tooth.
Mouth
and stuff. They work against, they have those little human gremlin hands.
They've got the human gremlin hands. I've always seen, like, an aspect of the Beavis in a possum.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Just like the aspect of the Beavis I saw in my burrito in Charge of Mission to Sea.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly. Yeah. You know, this concurs with your lived experience.
The aspect of the Beavis.
Yeah. No, or just again, there's something about possums and teen punks. I look at sometimes you look at a possum and there are, just like bats, they're cute bats, and they're like bats. They're cute possums and they're like, you know, kind of gnarly, they're emergency possums, but like, you know, some possums just with the beady eyes, they kind of look like Scott Farkas from A Christmas Story.
Sure. You
know,
deal. Good comparison.
They just kind of look like bullies to me.
Yeah. Yeah. For being like a very scared animal.
Yes.
Like, it just does not want to be messed with.
No,
you know, at all. And I respect it, you know, in that respect.
Yeah. It's just trying to live, you know, like, it didn't come to the city. The city came to it. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Thinking about little gremlin hands. I know I bring up gremlins a lot,
of course,
but I thought of something recently. Okay.
Okay.
You are walking down the street, a djinn or a wishmaster or some kind of thing curses you. Okay.
Okay.
This is your curse, Cole. If you get wet, you bud like the mogwais do. In exactly the same way. So not only does it hurt and they pop out of your back and it's anytime you get wet, but they're little versions of you with distinct personalities.
Oh, that's horrifying. No.
To like strangers, they just look like Coles. Like,
okay.
Similar to how Phoebe Cates mistook the screwball Mogwai for Gizmo.
Right.
So like, but to you, you would know, oh God, that's not Cole. That's the Cole that butted from my back, who's like the spike Cole, who like, as soon as he comes out, slicks back his hair and like gets out a switchblade.
As a real piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a real piece of shit one. There's a grumpy one. There's a couple different flavors of dumb ones. There's like a crazy dumb and then like a dumb one for some reason.
Wait a minute. So I don't understand. Just a Wishmaster shows up and decides to do this to me for no reason.
A curse.
No lesson.
No lesson today. It's a curse that happened. This is you accidentally cut somebody off.
Okay.
And it's like thinner.
Yeah.
You got cursed.
Gremliner. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So are you asking, like, how does my life change based on that?
I'm just asking, what do you think about it? Just asking you to live in this space for a minute.
it's horrifying. I enjoy a good shower. I like water park scary.
And drinking water.
Yeah. Hey, Gary. Yeah. You're taking water parks away from me in this situation. I'm not happy about it.
I lived in the space for a little bit in my head, you know, and I was like, very scary, right? Like a little version of me pops out. That's like, here's the mean version of me.
Yeah.
Here's the badass version of me and stuff. And then I thought, I can't not drink water. I can't not shower. I don't know how Mogwais and Gremlins get water or if they even need it without multiplying, but I need it.
Okay. Yeah.
So my thinking was, every time I drink water or take a shower, I do it with a team of people. And these people's job is to grab the little versions of me that butt off.
Okay.
Before they gain sentience and handcuff them. Okay. So all these different versions of me that are just different versions of me are restrained.
Okay.
Then I see the bright side of this. Because I can then create unlimited mass, matter, and people.
Okay, and
they're consequently evil, right? Like they're not. There's never been a gremlin or a mogwai that butted off of Gizmo that didn't need to die.
Right, right,
right. So you see where I'm going with this.
So you're solving world hunger with little versions of you. A Gary in every pot.
Yes, I become synonymous with beef.
Okay.
The same way that there's beef, and beef can be made into different dishes. Like there are hamburgers, there's steak and stuff like that. There's just Gary. And these are angry, dumb, or grumpy versions of me, or another flavor of dumb that popped out of my back when I took a shower, which I do once every 2 days or so.
But okay. So what's the scale here? So I need to ask because I'm unclear on the,
the gremlosity of the whole thing.
Yeah. The gremlosity. So I need to know the rules here. Any of the, let's say Scion, any of the Scion gremlins, are they capable, of budding themselves if they get wet?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you have proposed is not really, because if you're saying like, all right, I'm going to dedicate myself to solving world hunger, Gary, it's what's for dinner. You've signed yourself up for a life where like you are just kind of kept in a big empty water tower, like Professor X and Logan. And they're just constantly fire hosing you down and you're in agony as these little versions butt off of you. But the production can't stop because there are 8 billion people in the goddamn world, Gary.
Well, I'm not here to replace food. I'm here to supplement food.
Okay.
That is my goal. Second, I would be pretty cagey with this secret. I'm not volunteering myself at Area 51 for this. I've handpicked a team of people I trust.
You don't think they're going to find
consider
you?
Consider this your interview to come and handcuff these smaller versions of me that pop off my back.
Okay.
And then, I don't know. I rent a storage space or something for processing. I don't have the middle worked out yet.
Yeah.
But somehow the people who are buying this meat do not need to know where it comes from or who it was.
It shows up. It's a mystery parcel in the night left on the stew.
Yes. It's pork.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's long pork. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's long, Gary.
Like, yeah.
So there are, I'm not saying there aren't challenges. I'm just trying to think of how to make the best of this situation if it happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's making the best, but it's also signing yourself up for a lot of problems. My solution to this would just be to have a 22 and a lot of ammo around, not involve other people. And then just
have a potter's field.
Kill.
Cause you're a landowner.
Kill the part of Or you know, you can just take them around and, you know, secret them away.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
You know, just to throw them into, there are lots of fields, you know. Yeah. But, you know, kill the part of me that feels any empathy for murdering a small version of myself.
Yes,
like I'll be diminished, but I will also not, it'll free up a lot of time in the day for me. My question, more about the gremlinosity of this. Is it just water or is it any liquid?
It's a great question. As far as I can tell, it's just water, but okay. I've never seen, someone like dump a soda on a gremlin. I'm hoping that the new series answers such questions.
Okay.
But I think it has to just be pure water because when they eat chicken wings, which have water, they do not bud.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, like I've got to get used to it, but like, maybe I'm drinking
Crystal Light.
Yeah. Crystal Light or, like, you know, just Diet Dr. Pepper. Maybe I'm bathing in Diet Dr. Pepper. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could also probably bathe in like hand sanitizer.
That sounds really, oh God, there's so many. That's a great way to find any like small cuts and wounds and abrasions that you just don't know that you have. It's a good way
for your butthole to hurt for reasons you don't understand.
I did a full body wince at that. Oh God.
it's funny that because that's when you do sensory deprivation tank stuff, your butthole will have micro tears on it and stuff. From time to time, they don't bleed or anything. You just don't feel them. But you fucking feel them when you dive into a bunch of salt water. So one of the things you do when you do a sensory deprivation tank is you apply a little bit of
Vaseline. Yeah. Gotta seal that up tight.
You seal yourself up like a ship.
Water fast for the voyage round the horn.
I do some deck sealant before you get in a sensory deprivation tank. So that's what I think of when I think about bathing in hand sanitizer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like do a little Vaseline on the butt. Probably, okay.
Of course.
But you bring up a really good loophole. If I can drink without doing this,
yeah,
it'll be a lot easier to sell. So rather than solve world hunger, what if I market this as a boutique thing? Because I'm only in the mood to make them every once in a while. Like I quit my job.
Okay.
For one day a week, this is the job. Me and my team, we bud, cuff, execute process, and then we sell to like Whole Foods or what have you.
I'm thinking like, yeah, you can do that, but like retail is such a scale thing. What I'm going to propose to get more markup off of this raw material, like if you're going to do this, you know, one day a week or whatever,
you have your
production, but what I'm going to say, you set up just kind of like one of these very exclusive, I'm talking like 3-4 year wait list, things. Okay. You know, one engagement per week, it's, you know, maybe 4 people can come in, but it is a prefix of your of your Gary meat and associated fixins, right? For the curious, for the curious gourmand.
That that waitlist idea also makes me think of like those extreme haunted houses, and I could do a separate list where I charge people, let them hose me down, because somebody would probably get pretty into that.
I mean, also like if, you know, do like a most dangerous game kind of thing, like, all right, I have rented out this abandoned church or this abandoned school. You know, I was in there, you know, somebody was hosing like me down
with the Bobs. Yeah.
Yeah. and then just like you charge admission, you give everybody they're 22. You have them sign all kinds of waivers and they go in and it's time.
I might need to have my own island for this, but I feel like with enough water, I could make an island of just, you know, floating fat podcasters.
Yeah. Just in their bones, you know?
Yeah.
At least some kind of reef. Yeah.
Yeah. Ossuary Island, you know, like Gary Butterfield's offshore ossuary of horror and delight.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And there's nothing saying you couldn't do both. You know, you got the prefix in one, and then you have the big, the big horrifying facility.
It could be a whole Jurassic Park thing.
Oh yeah.
Like I could run a lot of aspects of the park based on this.
Yeah.
Like it's an underexplored part of Gremlins mythology that they violate the laws of matter.
Right.
You know, that they just create.
I mean, more. if one of them gets away, like if you do not account for one, it just kind of clings to the side of a, it's like the koala at the end of the Australia episode. The
positive
Simpsons.
Gremm coefficient.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, well, like one of those breaks containment, we're fucked. Because again, the scions can replicate. Yeah.
Yeah. When it works, it is beautiful. I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I think you should do it.
You know what? I will.
You don't need my permission, but sometimes you can tell.
I just need to say it out loud. I just need to bounce the ideas off somebody.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get the surgery.
Here's the thing. If you're asking, you've already made up your mind. You're just looking for a push, right? You already know the answer.
Yeah, and that's what makes you a good friend and a very good with a 22. They ultimately have you join the team.
Hey, you know, plink these guys down. Come on, lock and load.
It also, I think that there's sociological angles because there's lots of ways to make money off of this and do good. One of the things you could do is rent them out to colleges, because I would be very curious if you could reform one of them. It's never happened in the movies.
Right.
But like they raise really interesting questions about, you know, original sin or like an elemental evil.
Yeah.
You know, does it just make a random Mogwai and almost every Mogwai is evil except for Gizmo? Or are the butted Mogwais the evil ones? Are they born evil? Do they stay evil? Could you like treat one to be kind?
Does evil skip a generation? Like, do the ones who bought off of the evil ones, are they generally okay?
No. Those do get shown in the movies. We see many generations off of the butted ones. So they, the Spike or Stripe, depending on which movie, goes and makes an army. And those guys are all assholes.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
but they are raised by Spike or Stripe, depending on the movie.
They're not good parents.
Yeah.
There's no raising involved. Like, they're just kind of sent out into the world.
Well then that's why they end up so terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the trick. This is the first of a series of conversations that results in you having these guys every other weekend.
Horrible. Terrible. I did not sign up for this.
The crew. Like, you had to go on the train station in a bus and pick them all up.
Just me standing there in a members only jacket. Hands on my knees. Hey, guys. Come on. Oh, man. He wants ice cream.
Yeah. We do. if you like this show, thank you for supporting us.
Yes,
we appreciate it. We have a timeline today, so we're cutting this fun short. I didn't find Game Facts Gold on this, really.
No, it's just people saying, hey, this game, you know, this game that's good, it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's kind of boring. So we're gonna skip it. But thanks everybody for listening. Thank you for supporting us. We appreciate you. What else can they do? Cool.
Well, my internet's been complete shit today, so I've not been able to. I'm just waiting for Twitter to load. It is just loading up. I don't think it's going to load. So until next time, Umbasa.